This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
My home church had an interesting tradition in the, what I would call, the primary and junior Sunday school department. Turned out to be a very shocking experience for me, what they did, their custom, and I literally did. What it was, someone made a board of lights, plugged into an outlet. It had the little Christmas tree size sockets, and next to each socket was your picture of a child. And so when you came into Bible school that morning, you would twist the little light, the Christmas tree light, and it would light up, and that meant you were there. And it was a way we kept track of, you know, who was there and who wasn't there. Honest to goodness truth, one Sunday I came and my light bulb was missing. It wasn't there. A lot of people say that about me today, but that's another story. That's another issue. His light bulb is missing. But I did something totally stupid. I took my forefinger and I put it right inside the socket where my picture was. My finger was blackened from the burn. Sparks flew everywhere, and half the electricity in the building shut off, shorted out. So they had to, you know, somebody had to get the fuses or whatever you do in a case like that back then. And it was a shocking experience, to say the least. Why do I tell you that? I have been real sensitive about that, or was, when my children were growing up. If I ever noticed they were trying to put something in an electrical outlet, I said, stop, don't do that. I'm paranoid now about my grandchildren doing that. When they came to visit a year ago from Germany, I was buying those plastic things and putting them in those outlets everywhere because I didn't want to take a chance that one of them would stick something in an outlet. Henry Ward Beecher wrote years ago, we never know the love our parents had for us until we become parents. Anybody relate to that? We never know the love our parents had for us until we become parents. You say, where are you going with that today? Simply this. I'm going to take a passage of Scripture a little bit out of context. I really am, and I admit it, but it applies. Where the Apostle Paul talks about the love that he has for the church at Corinth, for the people there, and he said, not only do I love you enough to spend everything I have on you, he said, I'm willing to be spent. I'm willing to be spent. That's what love does. Love is willing to be spent. So we're going to read from 2 Corinthians 12, 14, and 15, and then an Old Testament passage that's a parallel passage. 2 Corinthians 12, 14, Paul says this, now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Would you raise your hand along with other people today? You never knew that verse was in the Bible. I didn't for years. Children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. Then he asked this very thought-provoking question we'll talk about. If I love you more, will you love me less? If I love you more, will you love me less? And then from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, 6th chapter, just a few verses that apply. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you walk along the road. Talk about them when you lie down, and talk about them when you get up. Talk about them while you get up. The love of a parent is different than any other love. Parental love is a special love that we're going to talk about today in a powerful way. The love of a parent is different than any other love. Parental love is a special love that we're going to talk about today in a powerful way. Your life has been impacted by the love that was given to you by a parent or withheld by a parent. Would you listen to that again? Your life has been impacted by the love a parent gave you, or the love that was held from you, or the love that just wasn't there, that the opposite of love was shown. just like you're impacting future generations with your love. I want to talk to you about parental love from a young person's perspective. This is from Laura. She's from Louisville, Kentucky. She's in her mid-20s, maybe late 20s. She's a school teacher. She has one child. Her goal when she was 18 years old was to go to be a Broadway singer. I guess she was top-notch talent in her high school, and people said, you need to go to Broadway. You need to move to New York because you've got the talent. You've got the skills. You've got the pipes, and you can make it on Broadway. So that was her dream. But she said now she's married, and she's a teacher, and she's got a child, and she lives in the typical suburb, she said. And she has an interesting thesis here. She said, if I were to have a conversation with my 18-year-old self, if that were physically possible, she said, here's how it would go. If I were to have a conversation with my 18-year-old self, I'm sure there's a lot she wouldn't understand. She wouldn't get it why I'm not pounding the pavement in New York City, working to get an audition or that coveted part on Broadway. She wouldn't be able to accept that I haven't had a real audition in 4 years. She wouldn't be able to fathom that my coworkers have never heard me sing. She'd be curious about the baby because she hadn't had much experience with babies. She would wonder about my teaching career, probably calling it pedestrian or boring. She would look around my very suburban house and accuse me of selling out. She would have said if I would buy a house, it would at least have been interesting, eclectic neighborhood with coffee houses and hip bars on every corner. She'd probably scoff at the corner house in the painfully suburban neighborhood that I now call home. But I know things that she doesn't know. I understand that those volatile college years, both wicked and wonderful, are just a microcosm of life, like a lens zoomed in too close on one subject. Life is so much more rich and complicated and wonderful and terrible than those four self-righteous, selfish years in the bubble. I know what it means to work for love, not just to sit back and let it happen the way it can when you're young. I know about bringing life into the world and the complexity of emotions that it brings, the confusion, the bone-deep exhaustion, the loss of sense of self, the love that doesn't know how big your heart is, so it splits wide open. My life is simple, but I've learned that importance is relative because, you see, I am irreplaceable. When my daughter cries for mama, she reaches out for me and me alone. So such a small life, it's perfectly fine by me. I think it's what I wanted all along. What did Lauren discover? She discovered parental love, that it's about spending and being spent. That's what she discovered, and that's the analogy. That's the analogy the Apostle Paul says in his relationship with the people of Corinth. He says, I love you so much, I'm willing to spend everything and to be spent in service to you people, because that's what love does.
Well, that's what Paul said love does. Does that describe the love that you and I express to family, and especially to children? We'll continue this message from 2 Corinthians 12 tomorrow on Cross Hope. I hope you remember our website. It's real simple. It's crosshope.com. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message again or any message you'd like to hear on Cross Hope. God bless you.
In verse 14, Paul says, now I'm ready to visit you for the third time. He's coming back to the church at Corinth. He's the one who founded the church. And he said, I'm not going to be a burden to you. You don't have to worry about spending any money on me, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. And then he has that thought, I think a parenthetical thought. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I don't think he meant it as a hard and fast rule or commandment, but he was saying that's the general way things are, is that parents are the ones that save up to give their children an inheritance. Inheritance was a big, big deal in biblical times, probably more so than today. And so it wasn't the idea that children saved up money to help mom and dad. Parents saved for children. I heard this week an old radio show where the father is telling his son about his tax deduction. He said, this is dated obviously, he said, I'm able to write off $600. I get a $600 tax break because of you. And the kid says, how come I only get 25 cents a week allowance then? What's the problem? You get $600, I get a quarter a week, but that's a long story. We'll get into it later. The children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Verse 15, so I will gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? In the passage I read in Deuteronomy, I just want to make one comment about it. Moses said, you and I are to teach our children to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and mind, which means with every part of you, emotionally, physically, spiritually. But then he says, you teach it to your children when they get up in the morning. You teach it when they go to bed at night. You teach it when they're on their way to school, and when you're on your way to soccer practice, whatever you're doing. And what was that emphasis? He was over-exaggerating, using hyperbole to make a point. And yet I think in our culture today, we're not doing any of that. I know a sociologist in Chicago who's a Christian. A sociologist is somebody who studies the culture. And he made an interesting observation, and this was 5 or 10 years ago, so I think it's even more so true. He said, I'm going to use an analogy with you, Randy. He said, there was a time in our culture when God rode in the front seat of the car with the average family. So there was a time in our culture when God rode in the front seat. Then he said, then the time came when God moved to the back seat. God moved to the back seat of our culture. I understood what he meant. It's just a figurative visual word picture that I could understand. But he said, now, he said, I'm afraid, again, 10 years ago, God's riding in the trunk with the spare tire. Do you remember the last time you saw the spare tire in your car? I mean, it's been a while. Some people drive a car for years and never see the spare tire that's underneath the back of the trunk, and you never see it. It's only opened in an emergency. And he said, that's what people do with the Lord. Now, he's not done with that illustration. Here's what he said. He said, I'm afraid, speaking 10 years ago, he said, the people that are elementary, junior high, and high school back then, he said, when they become parents, he said, Randy, I'm afraid the analogy is going to be this. God's not even in the trunk. God's standing out the side of the road hitchhiking. God goes from the front seat to the back seat to the trunk with the spare tire. He's not even in the trunk anymore. And you know what? There's part of me that says, I think he's right. I think he's right. You don't believe it? Just look around you in our culture today. Where we do live in a post-Christian culture, then that's just the reality of life.
Well, using his analogy, where does God ride in your life? Is he in the front seat of the car, to use that analogy, the back seat, the trunk, or not even in the car? Let us speak to you this week on CrossHope, crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
There was a story that I told 2 or 3 years ago that produced probably more response as a story than any other story I've told here at Crossview. I really mean that. Some of you will remember it immediately because it spoke to you. It had a local connection in terms of Southern Ohio. Bruce is from Peebles, Ohio. That's in Adams County, Ohio. Here's the thumbnail sketch of his life. He was raised by an abusive mother for 15 years. She abused him so much physically and emotionally. I've never heard of any child ever doing what Bruce did. He wasn't turned into the authorities by a school teacher or by a neighbor or by a relative. He turned himself in. 15 years old, walks into the authorities in Adams County, Ohio, and says, I'm an abused child. Can somebody help me? And he was taken out of that home. He was put in the home with a foster mom that I think, if my memory's right, would adopt him, legally adopt him later on. I want you to listen to him as he contrasts his two moms. As a child, I did not have the love of my biological mother. Everything in life seemed dark and indifferent to me. I allowed hatred and bitterness to dictate my actions. For the first 15 years of my life, I fought to survive, and I was a product of these dark emotions that tormented me daily. My life was in chaos, and I was a player in what seemed to be a demented dream that would never end. Can you imagine describing your childhood that way, that you were living in a demented dream that would never end? So after 15 years of violence, abuse, and poor decisions, I surrendered my independence to the civil authorities in Adams County who were in charge. My hopes were that they could help me make my life better. But I was not placing my hopes in the right source because it would take more than regulations and discipline to save my life. It would take the kind of love that only a real mother could give a child. It talks about being given to a foster mother and how she changed his life. This woman called it her spiritual duty to help him to come out of his depression of the past. And here's what he says. I'm jumping to the conclusion of this story. I believe a mother's love has no boundaries. I know firsthand that it has the power to change lives. It changed me. A mother's love can overcome hatred, animosity, and selfishness. It has the power to heal an abused heart and body. I believe that it takes a mother's love to heal the wounds encountered at the expense of living life. I can attest this to be true. And listen to this. I read all of that just for you to hear the last sentence. It was a mother's hatred that made me bitter. But it was another mother's love that saved me from self-destruction and self-annihilation. Wow. Listen to that again. It was a mother's hatred that made me bitter, but another mother's love that saved me from self-destruction and self-annihilation. What did he discover? He discovered 2 Corinthians 12, 14, 15, that love spends and love is spent emotionally. And love has the power to impact future generations. Do you get that? That your love impacts a child, not just for this year and for a couple years in the future, but for a lifetime. And their love experience and lack of love or a blessing of love impacts them in the way that they relate to their children, and it becomes a generational thing. It really does. I want to talk just for a minute about Paul's comment, if I love you more, will you love me less?
Well, one commentator says that's one of the most interesting statements, rhetorical questions in the New Testament. If I love you more, will you love me less? We'll talk about that idea and what Paul perhaps meant when he said it to the church at Corinth. Listen tomorrow to Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word for crosshope.org. God bless you and thanks for listening. Well, today, part 5 of a message on parental love from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 14 and 15, where Paul describes his love for the church at Corinth in such a way that it's like a father talking to his children or a grandfather talking to his grandchildren, describing the love that he had for these people. We ended yesterday with his cryptic remark where Paul said, if I love you people more, will you love me less? What a question. Let's talk about that as we conclude this message today. God bless you.
I want to talk just for a minute about Paul's comment, if I love you more, will you love me less? I read an interesting quote in relationship to that, that in a relationship or a marriage, whoever loves the least has the most power. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if that's always true, but that was a comment that somebody made on this verse. Whoever loves the least in a marriage, whoever loves the least in a relationship, holds the power. They hold the cards because I love you less. And there's something to that. And there were some Bible scholars who said Paul loved these people, maybe overloved them, and they just kind of took it for granted. They loved him less. And maybe took his love that he had for the people at Corinth. Because there was a lot of strife going on at the church at Corinth, if you've read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. If I love you more, will you love me less? I think one of the great stories I could tell you about love on Mother's Day is actually about a father, if that makes sense. Great story I could tell you on Mother's Day is about a father. When we ministered in Dallas, I led a weekly Bible study at Fox Television Sports, which is a place where a number of people in the church worked, and we had a weekly Bible study in the conference room. There was a man that worked at in the air that came to it. His name was Meyer, and his dad was a retired FBI agent. His dad died, so all of us in this Bible study group said we need to go and just support him to his dad's funeral, and we did. So the whole group of us went together in a group to his dad's funeral. We heard people who worked with him in the FBI talk about what a great guy he was. He went to the University of Colorado where he played football. He was a football star, and somebody spoke of his football years at the University of Colorado. He had retired and became the chief of security for American Airlines, and people from American Airlines in Dallas were there and talked about what a great leader he was of the security department. But the thing that I will remember as long as I live was one of the sons at the end of the funeral stood up, and this is all he said. That's all he said, and then he sat down. You could have heard a pin drop. The thing that I will remember about my father was that he loved my mother. He sat down. That was it. The thing that I will remember about my father is that he loved my mother. Do you know what that's a lesson for? For fathers? Sure it is. For mothers too. The thing that children remember the rest of their lives, the love. Just like Bruce said, the hatred of a mother made me bitter, but the love of a stepmother saved me from self-annihilation. Love has power. Love has power because God is love. And the book of Thessalonians says we're taught by God to love. God takes responsibility for teaching us how to love. And that's why love is the most important thing on Mother's Day. Love is the most important thing on Mother's Day, but I have a notion it's the most important thing the other 364 days of the year too. Believe it today. Your life is spent in the business of loving other people because that's what love does. According to me? No, according to the Apostle Paul. That's what love does. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together.
Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.